Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Jim Blasingame, he's the cyber king of small business. Search Google for small business expert, and he's tops on the list.
I guess that makes you number one.
He's number one on Google and number one in our hearts.
Aww.
He's Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 After. Thanks very much for staying with me. Thanks for being part of my day. My pleasure to continue to be with you, as always. You're going to be glad you're hanging out with me because we got Wayne Allen Root back with us. Wayne is, he was the 2008 Libertarian vice presidential nominee, the Libertarian Party, in the 2008 election. And he's also the author of The Conscience of a Libertarian, which is an outstanding book. And I'm glad to be an owner of one of the owners of that book. And Wayne has been with us several times before. It makes him a member of our brain trust. He's our good friend, Wayne Allen Root. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, Jim. One thing you want to mention is my book, actually, The Conscience of a Libertarian, has now been number one or number two in the category of libertarian books for 11 consecutive months at Amazon.com.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And I'm now running for national chairman, by the way, of the Libertarian Party. The Libertarian Convention is in St. Louis, Missouri, on May 27th, and I expect on that day to be elected national chairman and be running CEO of America's largest third party.
Congratulations. And I'm glad to hear that because I wanted to know about what you were, what your future is, what your plans are, and we've talked about that a little bit in the past. But I tell you what, before we go any further, remind people what a libertarian stands for.
Well, libertarian stands for personal freedom and economic freedom. No matter where, you know, no matter what the question is, we believe the government should get out of our lives. And so, you know, we're much more fiscally conservative than the Republican Party, which, by the way, if you really want to know what a libertarian would do, listen to what Republican candidates say. Don't watch what they actually do, because once they get elected, they act more like Democrats. But certainly during election time, Republicans sound very similar to libertarians on all of the economic issues. On social issues, I think we're a little bit more moderate. I know I am. But on economic issues, we're right where Barry Goldwater and Ronald Reagan were and talked about. But unfortunately, most Republicans today talk a good game. They don't actually deliver.
Now, when you say get the government out of our way, see, I say that all the time about getting the government out of the marketplace, out of our way in the marketplace. If, you know, many people have said, why doesn't the government help small businesses more? And what I always say is, you know what? The truth is, we don't need you to help us more because you're probably going to mess that up, government. What we need you to do is get out of our way and let us do what we know how to do. I would rather the government leave us alone, get out of our way and not be in our way, which they are in many cases, than I would them giving me something, because I don't really want anything from the government. But you and I both know when we say that, some people say, well, you have to have some regulations. Obviously, you have to have laws and you have to have some regulations. We've seen the damage that having an unregulated sector of the marketplace can have, like we've seen in Wall Street. So when you and I say, you know, get less government and get the government out of our way, we don't mean that we want that we want a totally unregulated marketplace, do we?
No. Well, listen, Sarbanes-Oxley, you and I have agreed, is a great example. Off microphone, you and I were talking about Sarbanes-Oxley. Yeah. As a small businessman who had a company that went public on Wall Street, I could tell you Sarbanes-Oxley was the biggest mistake and the biggest nightmare in the history of any businessman's life, on Wall Street. And I went through it, and I know what it cost me and my investors to basically put my company out of business.
Exactly. I've asked a number of people who are still running public companies who went public in the 90s, if today they could go public under the current Sarbanes-Oxley requirements, and they said if they were trying to do it today, they would not be able to.
Right. Well, listen, another example, as good or better than Sarbanes-Oxley, is the Community Reinvestment Act. That was put into effect, under Bill Clinton. It was supercharged. It was put into effect originally by Jimmy Carter, but under Clinton, supercharged. I believe it's responsible for the entire housing disaster debacle. It was responsible for the subprime debacle. Basically, it was banks being at gunpoint, literally told that the government would literally withhold the necessary regulatory approvals that they need if they didn't loan more and more higher and higher percentage of their loans to minorities, whether they were qualified or not. And that's what caused the current disastrous housing decline. And so,
the thing is, Wayne, theoretically,
but they wind up screwing it up for all of us.
As we know right now, they're in the process, the government, the Congress is in the process, the Dodd bill is in the process of adding new financial regulations onto the financial industry. And maybe some things need to be done. But the thing is, folks, is that the reason Wayne and I mentioned the CRA, Community Reinvestment Act, and Sarbanes-Oxley is because these are examples of failed policies that they thought they were doing to do something good. I'm concerned that the Dodd bill, is going to be the same thing. Tweetel, stay with us. We'll be right back.
How long has it been?
Welcome back. It's 17 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Thanks very much for staying with me. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you check it out when you get a chance. And don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. And if you're on Twitter and you want to follow me there, I'm at Jim Blassingame. Wayne Allen Root, ladies and gentlemen, is our guest. He's a libertarian, former vice presidential nominee for the Libertarian Party. Now he's running for the chairmanship of the Libertarian Party nationally. He's also the author of the best-selling book, Conscience of a Libertarian. He's our guest and a good member of our Brain Trust. Wayne, as we went to the break, we were talking about the Dodd bill that's being proposed to add new regulations to the financial industry. The dangerous part about this to me is it's going to add new restrictions and regulations to the marketplace banks, not just Wall Street banks, but to my independent community banks. And that frightens me. That means that makes me think it's going to hurt me and my small business. And when I know back in 2002, when they passed the Sarbanes-Oxley bill, Wayne, I wrote a piece and I said, anything the government does in 60 days can't be good. And they passed that bill in like 60 days. And sure enough, it was a big mistake. It wasn't necessary for one thing, and it's accomplished almost nothing but to wreak havoc on the economy. And now we're going to pass another bill very quickly by a guy who's a lame duck, Dodd, the senator from Connecticut, and who's the author of this thing. And I really fear that they're going to do damage to small businesses with this thing. What do you think?
There's no question about it. I'll tell you what. You may not even know this because I was waiting for you to say it, and you didn't say it. So that makes me think that I know something you don't, which is going to scare the heck out of you. One of the clauses in Dodd's new bill is about angel investing. Angel investing is really just what you use to raise money for many small businesses all over the United States. It's a pretty simple thing. All an angel investor
it's a growing sector in the capitalization of small businesses.
Yeah, all it means is they're not friends or family. If you go out and raise money from strangers in large amounts, that's angel investing. I did it with quite a few of the businesses that I've had in the last 10 years. I raised over just about $20 million with one of my businesses in $25,000 and $50,000 checks. That's called angel investing. And Dodd's bill wants to raise the requirement. All angel investing, the only rules involving angel investing is you have to literally disclose to people, many different things. Number one, that's government's interference. And number two, you've got to make sure that they fall under two requirements. They've got to make $1 million. They've got to have $1 million in assets and make over $100,000 a year. Dodd wants to triple those two requirements. Now you have to be worth over $3 million in assets and make over $300,000 a year.
What is his business in that? What makes him think he has any business?
I don't know. There's
regulating
some reason he's doing this.
A relationship between an investor and a company.
But wait, it's much worse. You haven't heard me get to the worst part. He wants you to register with the SEC, and they're allowed to take 120 days to comment, which means by the time you do that, all the people you've spoken to will back out of the deal. He wants everyone to have 120 days.
I have not heard this. I haven't. I don't know how many other people know about this.
This is a disaster.
How did you find out about this?
What it's got to do with Wall Street subprime mortgages? Nothing. So, you know, again, you're talking about just like the universal health care bill, Jim. What did it have to do with ending the college loan business for private industry and putting it in government's hands? Nothing.
And yet it did.
And yet it did. Well, you know what it had to do with it, by the way? This is something almost no one in America understands. The health care bill could not have passed, even with the current socialists we've got in the United States Senate and Congress. It still could not have passed if it didn't score under $1 trillion. You know, in other words, the cost of it had to come in under $1 trillion, or it would have peeled off maybe 10 fiscal conservative blue dog Democrats. That was their means test. And the only way to get it under $1 trillion was to destroy the private college loan business, put it under the bill, and claim that saved $60 billion over the next 10 years. Yeah. That's the reason that was added to the bill, to lie, distort, and change the numbers so it would come in under an artificial $1 trillion number that was determined by several blue dogs.
Which is one of the reasons why, besides the face of the bill, the alleged health care reform bill, which is one of the reasons why, one of the many reasons why I opposed it and why I did everything I could do to try to kill the thing, and we just weren't successful. But speaking of which, the health care bill, what do you think is going to happen over the next year or two? Do you think that defunding will be the best way of neutralizing that bill?
Well, I believe Republicans are going to have a massive victory in November. And remember, I'm a libertarian, so I'd rather it be libertarians that have that victory, because I think Republicans tend to get in office and not do what they say they're going to do and not be fiscally conservative enough. But having said that, my tea leaves as a Vegas odds maker, and the most successful one in the world, by the way, the guy called the King of Vegas by the media, my tea leaves say, and excuse me for that pun, but it's because of the tea parties that all this is happening, my tea leaves say Republicans are going to have a huge victory in November, and they're going to be able to gridlock Obama, but they won't be able to overturn the entire universal health care or Obamacare, whatever you'd like to call it, until a new president is elected at 212. But assuming a president of a different party than Obama is elected in 212 and Republicans control House and Senate, at that point I think the whole thing will be overturned. And in the meantime, it will never be put into effect, Jim. There are so many lawsuits by private interests and state attorney generals. This thing is years away.
So
from
basically,
ever being
we spent all this time and all this money and all this effort and all this acrimony on something that probably will wind up being neutralized. And it's amazing to me. And see, folks, this is why it matters when you're working on a project in politics and the vast majority of Americans don't want what you're working on. What Wayne just said is why you don't do it. It's why you stop and you move on to something else. It's the way things work here in America. And when you try to shove it down our throats, it just doesn't work. And that's what brings out the libertarians and brings out the Tea Party, folks. When we come back, I'm going to ask Wayne, what's the difference between a libertarian and someone who's a Tea Party member?
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.